the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lane. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up.
On this Tuesday evening, just continuing to accrue the episodes one by one by one, continuing to make a statement in Tuesday night radio in the area of professional wrestling. I am Chris Featherstone. Such a pleasure to be with you again this week. We have a lot to cover. Of course, we have the typical WWE, ROH, TNA, and this week we have some Extreme Rules predictions to talk about as well. And the flavor of the week has to do with Extreme Rules. We're going to talk about the not-so-extreme matches in the history of Extreme Rules. So I'm going to have a lot of fun with that. Last week was a very fun episode. We had glitch after glitch, but we managed to have a ton of fun, and thank you all for the calls and the tweets and the chat room involvement. And we will continue to do everything that we can to be the hottest and most interactive television, well, soon to be TV, currently radio show on the planet Tuesday nights. So, late night Tuesday. We are the late night rush to the early morning crave, if that made sense to you. If it didn't make sense to you, that's just something that you're just going to have to figure out. All right, well, here we go. We are going to open up the chat room. And as soon as we get the technical aspect together, and of course, tweet at Crave Wrestling, call in live with your thoughts, 347-884-8452. Again, 347-884-8452. Let's start off with Raw here. We'll start off with the Chris Jericho and Fandango dance-off. Very interesting segment there. A bit pointless. I mean, it was heavily hyped, but the way that it happened, the way that it was written was a bit odd. Fandango starts off his dance routine, and Summer Rae twists her ankle during the routine, and Chris Jericho and Edita Slavinskaya tend to Summer Rae, and then Fandango and Tex Y2J. For a long period of time, actually, I've been taught some. I do freestyle dance. I've danced like hip hop for years throughout my teen and early 20s, and so I'm familiar with a lot of dance styles. I've also taken formal ballroom dances as well. So, because of my appreciation of dance, I also watch Dancing with the Stars. I've watched Dancing with the Stars for quite some time. Haven't really followed it weekly the past few seasons, but I have followed it the first two or three, maybe four seasons. I was definitely a weekly watcher. Saying all that to say that Edita Slavinska was a dancer on Dancing with the Stars. So when they said her name, I was familiar with her work on the show. And that was pretty cool to see her out in a WWE ring. However, we didn't see her dance at all because Fandango managed to pull a wool over our eyes and have Summer Rae fake a ankle injury. So it was an interesting start to the Raw show. I don't know if I was a big fan of it. Again, we got more of Fandango one-upping Chris Jericho. I really hope that this leads to Chris Jericho. I really hope that this leads to Chris Jericho defeating Fandango at Extreme Rules, and we'll have our Extreme Rules predictions here coming up soon. But hopefully, I mean, you know, for a long time, I was in it with Fandango. In the beginning, I was very hesitant, didn't like him. But then after a while, I got into it. I got into the Fandango craze. But unfortunately now it's just starting to the hype is starting to dissipate again. I'm not very interested in him anymore, and it definitely is kind of waning. It's kind of weeding out as far as his hype is concerned. I mentioned in one of my articles that maybe a face turn would have been good for Fandango. However, now it's just like I said before. I compare Fandango to a modern day Val Venus. I mean, that's the best way that that I could say as far as it's concerned. Of course, Val Venus achieved a decent amount of. He achieved a decent amount of success. He was Intercontinental Champion. I believe he was European Champion as well, Tag Team Champion. So, I mean, he had a couple good feuds. I remember when he was with he feuded with Mick Foley for a second, and he was in the upper mid card. So he had some good feuds. And definitely compare Fandango to Val Venus of this day. I don't even know, to be honest with you, I don't even know if Fandango will achieve that much as Val Venus. But maybe he will continue to be pushed as a mid-card, upper mid-carder. He still is Vince McMahon's pet project. However, I don't know if... I don't know if the WWE Universe would have the patience with Fandango as they did with Val Venus, because Val Venus, I mean, he actually did a good job throughout his Sean Morley. He did a good job throughout his WWE career for the most part. He stayed in the mid card. For the most part, so I mean, we'll see how that goes as far as Fandango is concerned. Looks like the chat room is loading up here. Let's start off with the first question for the night. Who originally had Kurt Angle's WWE theme song? Who originally had Kurt Angle's WWE theme song? Got a comment on the chat room about this. Do I talk about NXT? I definitely keep up with NXT programming. I write for WrestlingInc.com, so I have to really keep up with everything. If anybody has not if anybody has not seen the Chris Jericho and Bray Wyatt match, Bray Wyatt match from NXT recently, they missed a good match. It was a match between those two, and of Bray Wyatt's well, we know Bray Wyatt as Husky Harris, but if he would have lost to Bray Wyatt, he would have had to join the Wyatt family. But Jericho won, and it was a good match. So YouTube it, the match between those two, you would definitely be satisfied. All right, let's go to Ryback defeating Dolph Ziggler. Once again, the question is, who originally had Kurt Angle's WWE theme song? And, the Patriot is the correct answer, so great job there. Next question is, who was known as the Human Suplex Machine? Who was known as the Human Suplex Machine? Let's go on to Ryback defeating Dolph Ziggler. Nothing big there. just another way to get Ryback over. Not much there. Zack Ryder is just really sad to me these days. I mean, he really had a really, really big chance. I see tweets and chat room answers. So far, so bad. not quite the correct answer. Although I see incorrect answers on Twitter. I did see a correct answer about the Patriot on Twitter, so great job there. But the question now is the Human Suplex Machine. Who was known as the Human Suplex Machine? All right. And Zack Ryder, like I was saying, Zack Ryder is just not that type of wrestler for anyone. I mean, making someone look good, maybe. I don't even know if he's good at that anymore. I think that they may can repackage Zack Ryder a little bit. There he goes. There's the correct answer. Just popped up here in the chat room. The correct answer is Taz. So good job there. He is known as the Human Suplex Machine. But I don't even think that Zack Ryder could be of any use anymore. I mean, like I said, when he had his moment, when he was the U.S. champion, that was really good. The thing is, he's still over. I mean, the crowd still chants for him, but I just don't understand why WWE still. I mean, they even canceled his Z2 Long Island Story is what it's called, and that was a program that was originated by him, but WWE kind of put their stamp on it and canceled the episodes. Now we just got to see Zack Ryder lose every week, unfortunately. So, I mean, he sells a lot of merchandise. He's He's a good, decent wrestler, but look how far that's got him. I don't see that. I don't see him going anywhere soon. Next, we have the Primetime Players defeating Tons of Funk. That was a bit of a surprise. Tons of Funk has been on a bit of a push as of late. I keep saying that I like that selection. I like that team. I like Tensai and Brodus Clay. Nice little addition to the tag team scene, the very thin tag team scene. But Primetime Players, I think it was a good idea to have them win, though. They do need some type of revival in the tag team scene. And I think the win against Tons of Funk, who has been on a bit of a decent streak lately, was good for Primetime Players. So I was okay with the decision. Maybe it will even lead to a match between the two teams in the near future. So I was okay with it. And hopefully we'll see more of that. Teddy Long makes a decision regarding the World Heavyweight Championship match at Extreme Rules. Before he made the decision, AJ and Big E Langston and Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter interrupts. Then Teddy Long books the number one contender I Quit match between Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger at Extreme Rules. I'm okay with this decision as well. For those who don't know, Dolph Ziggler was, unfortunately, he suffered a concussion recently, and unfortunately, he will not be cleared to wrestle at Extreme Rules. So, there was a couple of rumblings about how they were going to take care of that, and we saw that the decision was to was to have a number one contenders match. So, I mean, the thing, you know, although that's probably the best we could get right now. The only thing is, though, we've seen way too much of Jack Swagger and Alberto Del Rio as of late. Now, I will say this, and I've said this before in previous shows, I like the feud between the two, but for this to have another match on another pay-per-view for the sake of number one contender, I mean, you really can say that. I mean, to be honest, I would have preferred, if I had my preference, I would have chose Big E Langston to be in the stead of Dolph Ziggler, because just a number one contenders match, I mean, you really can save it. Absolutely. So, yeah, I definitely think that Big E Langston would have his opportunity to get some kind of push if he was involved in the match. Instead, we get a number one contenders match, and so be it. Next question. Who won the most Royal Rumble matches? Who won the most Royal Rumble matches? Kofi Kingston defeats Damian Sandow and before the match. Before the match, it was announced that Kofi Kingston and Dean Ambrose was going to fight at Extreme Rules for the United States Championship. Very, very interesting very interesting decision there to book that match. And when we get to the predictions, I'll give you my view on how that probably will go. But I do think that it was an interesting decision there. The match between Kofi Kingston and Damian Sandow was a decent match. But I will say this, though. You know, I like the fact that they're splitting up Rhodes Scholars, but not officially, and they can tag team whenever they want, and they can do singles matches. I think that's a great idea, just because I do think it's time for Cody Rhodes to ascend in the WWE. They tried it a couple times, and it only lasted for a second. However, I do think it's time for Cody Rhodes to get his due push. Damian Sandow is a good character, but as we've seen with the matches as of late, Cody Rhodes is definitely better in the ring. So for that reason alone, I would give Cody Rhodes the rub instead of Damian Sandow if one of them had to be pushed. So we'll see how that goes. Mark Henry interview, he forces Josh Matthews to put on the strap and it drags him to touch all four corners. Henry calls out Sheamus and they exchange words. Sheamus ends up whipping Henry with a strap. Another week of those two kind of one-upping each other throughout the weeks of build leading into Extreme Rules. And like I said before, I like this angle. I think it's a good idea. Chat room, let us know if you want to be if you want to be quoted live on air. Let us know how you feel about the Sheamus and Mark Henry match. And we also do have a correct answer on the chat room of Stunning Steve Austin. Well, not necessarily Stunning Steve. If I want to be Jeopardy technical, Stunning Steve Austin would be the incorrect answer, but I'll give it to you because it is Steve Austin, but Stone Cold Steve Austin and not Stunning Steve Austin. So, feel free to call in anyone. Call in live. What's your thoughts? 347-884-8452. Once again, the number is 347-884-8452. And before we go to the Randy Orton and Antonio Cesaro match, I do want to, again, thank everyone. We'll have a Derek, our Raw correspondent, coming in the line soon. But I do want to thank everyone for your support. Just continue. I usually say this at the end of the show, but let the world know about Crave Wrestling. Follow Crave Wrestling at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Like Crave Wrestling on Facebook. If you, as you can see, I'm a big trivia guy. I'm a big wrestling trivia guy. There is something fun that I do on Facebook that I post pictures of masked superstars, of former Max superstars, and I pose the question of who was under the mask. So right now there's one that's been posted, and no correct answer yet. So, and we need your support. We need your donations financially. Go to PayPal and give to Crave Wrestling. CraveWrestling@gmail.com is the correct email to give. We need your help. We get so many people that comment. We had the recap, the last recap article that I wrote on Bleacher Report had nearly 50,000 reads and a ton of comments, and I look at the numbers every week, and I mean, just we reach hundreds of thousands of people every week. So I just really want to thank everyone. But show it financially. Show your support financially. 347-884-8452 is the number to call in live. But yeah, just to show us your support via financial means. If you want the show to continue, let us know how much you appreciate pancakes and power slams. All right, let's go into, before we bring in our Raw correspondent, let's talk about this Randy Orton Antonio Cesaro match. Before we talk about the match, I want to just talk about something very interesting that has been rumbling around in the wrestling world about Antonio Cesaro's status in the WWE. Now, at first, I mean, of course, he was he won the U.S. title at SummerSlam, the pre-show against Santino Marella, and the thing is, he kept it for a decent amount of time. Lost it to Kofi Kingston, just kind of on a whim, and just went on a losing streak, and just really his push just kind of crashed. Now, the problem that I have is the fact that I believe personally, and I was tweeting this with some colleagues today. I believe that Antonio Cesaro is one of the best wrestlers on the WWE roster right now, and they should push him undoubtedly. But there are some reports going around that I know WrestlingInc.com and there's a few others that reported that the WWE sees him as boring, and I totally disagree with that. The thing is, WWE created a gimmick for him. They put him with Oksana. Oksana kind of worked in the beginning, and then he went off on his own. And he showed how good of a wrestler he is, but for some reason they consider that boring. Now, that's his gimmick. That's how he portrays his gimmick, and I think he does a good job. So I definitely don't agree with the boring factor. I hope that they realize that that was a and I see some comments in the chat room about his yodeling gimmick, and that was a horrible decision. It just seems like it was kind of a mockery, and I don't think that would have. I mean, the yodeling, and I've written about it about Cesaro on Bleacher Report. The yodeling just was awful, and it was kind of a mockery to me, and it was a bit disrespectful. But I mean, they really could do something with Antonio Cesaro, and I'm still having hope. I think that he can win the Money in the Bank match in July, and he's still my top choice to win the Money in the Bank match. So we'll see. It doesn't look like it now, but I'm still having hope and say that he can and hopefully will win the Money in the Bank match. Now, his match between Randy Orton, his match against Randy Orton was decent. I mean, they've had better matches, but what it seemed like was they just wanted Randy Orton to look even stronger heading into Extreme Rules on this coming Sunday. All right, we're going to bring in our Raw correspondent, Derek, our esteemed Raw correspondent Derek, to let us know his Raw thoughts for this week. What do you have, sir?
You want my Raw thoughts? You honestly want my Raw thoughts? From the very beginning, when Raw started, I was so disappointed. I honestly wanted to see a Fandango and Y2J dance-off. I've never been so fooled with wrestling in my life. I just cannot believe it. I was so disappointed. I was hoping for an actual dance-off. Is Fandango, is he a fraud? I said in past episodes of Pancakes and Power Slams that I'm behind Fandango. I think it's an awesome gimmick. He's doing great with it. But now I'm just kind of puzzled, scratching my head. Yeah, it ended up being, you know, that fake ankle injury. Come on now. That was ridiculous. I thought both of them can dance. Evidently, Y2J is the only one. But again, that proves my point. Y2J can make anyone look good. Ryback got that win over, what's-his-face. And, you know, I really don't... Is Ryback going to really beat Cena? How is that going to happen? Cena had the belt from... He got it from The Rock. He's still in his big I beat The Rock phase. Is Ryback just going to come in and take that from him? If Ryback's got any hope, he should just go. And maybe Paul Heyman or something in the future has something to do with Ryback. Ryback really has no future. He's a heel now. He can be a good heel, but he's failed at everything else. So it's just kind of like, yeah, what's his next step? Tons of Funk. I watched that. It was okay. Let's see what else. You know, you mentioned the Alberto and Swagger. That is getting old. I agree with you totally on that. Put up or shut up. Do something. But I'm getting tired of seeing these people over and over again coming in. They've got nothing to prove. They got nothing to say. And it is getting old. I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to bring it up tonight anyway. So, you know, the Shield versus Team Hell No and Cena. You see images of the old dominant Kane. That was awesome. I like to see Kane as the dominant force that he is, that they should market him as. Yeah, however he was counted out, it was a legit. Cena versus the Shield, but, you know, we've got everything we need tonight, so let's get back to you. Good night.
All right. Thank you so much, Derek, for your esteemed Raw thoughts, which you're correct about the Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger feud. We need somebody. I mean, and the thing is, here's the problem that I have mostly. And this is something that I've already said before as far as the legitimacy of the Big Gold Belt. Now, the Big Gold Belt goes back at least 25 years. It was the, you know, first it was the NWA title, that classic design, and then the Big Gold Belt came in. So the Big Gold Belt has some lineage to it. Ric Flair being the person who is synonymous with the Big Gold Belt. Of course, you have your Stings, you have your Steamboats, you have your Dusty Rhodes, even Barry Windham had the Big Gold Belt. So there's a rich legacy to it, and I think that it's a little bit, it's a little bit disrespectful in my eyes to see the rich lineage of, well, first of all, the mid-card championships, that's for starters, and then the Big Gold Belt, as far as what we see now, what we see now is just kind of like, okay, we're going to give someone the opportunity to maybe get a push by getting a Big Gold Belt. That's just a completely flawed way to think about or to book someone as the World Heavyweight Champion. The best option, like I said in previous shows, the best option is to revive that Big Gold Belt, the World Heavyweight Championship, by having established main eventers keep the title. Now, if you want to have Jack Swagger in the picture, Alberto Del Rio, maybe. Maybe. You know, I can hang with that if you're feuding with someone big. Like, for instance, in the chat room, or, you know, feel free to tweet it, feel free to say it on the chat room. like I said before, an established main eventer has to be in the picture when it comes to the big gold belt. So, yes or no, tweet or chat room or even call in live, 347-884-8452. What would you think about a so you have someone who's not necessarily an established main eventer. He is a main eventer, but he's not a multiple-time champion. He's not a legend yet. So, for instance, what would you think about an Alberto Del Rio and Brock Lesnar feud? Let us know your thoughts. Alberto Del Rio is someone who is still trying to claw and scratch himself into the main event scene, and as a legitimate babyface wrestler right now. And of course, Brock Lesnar is he's a main eventer. I mean, without question, he's a shoe-in main eventer. So, what about so what do you think about that? Call in live, tweet it, or chat room. Someone who's kind of like an up-and-coming main eventer feuding against someone who is an established main eventer. Because, to be honest with you, the World Heavyweight Championship between the World Heavyweight Championship picture right now is very bleak to me. I mean, even Dolph Ziggler, I mean, you know, like I said before, I've liked Dolph Ziggler for quite some time, but they're booking him horribly as a champion. And he's not really he's not adding any type of prestige to the to the title at all. And I think that's a horrible idea. For instance, if you want to have Dolph Ziggler as champion, have someone who's an established main eventer be in the feud. So, for instance, Dolph Ziggler versus Triple H. He's an established main eventer. Chris Jericho's an established main eventer. So make it Dolph Ziggler versus Chris Jericho. And, you know, there's a lot of other names that has been a staple main eventer. I mean, you want to bring all these part-timers back, let them go for the World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, I'm not a fan of Brock Lesnar, if and probably when he does, I'm not a fan of Brock Lesnar going for the WWE Championship. I'm not a fan of The Rock going for the WWE Championship. The World Heavyweight Championship has just as much prestige, and if The Rock or Brock Lesnar or Triple H or any of the other part-timers, if they won a World Championship, I see no problem with being World Heavyweight Champion. I see no problem with Triple H having one more run and reviving the prestige of the World Heavyweight Championship and becoming World Heavyweight Champion. Because if things like that happen, you don't have to be so dependent on the WWE Championship being the main event match. So back in the day when The Undertaker was World Heavyweight Champion, and Batista and Edge and all of them, they would swap as far as main event matches between the WWE Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship. They would, you know, because all those people were established main eventers, and they would swap as far as main event matches. So it needs to get back that. Of course, we know that the World Heavyweight Championship is the number two title. Of course, we know that. But at the same time, with the prestige of that title, it should be like 1B. You know, WWE Championship should be 1A, and the World Heavyweight Championship should be 1B. But now it's clear-cut number two title, and they're just doing poor booking with the relevance of that title. I'm a big fan of having both world champions, I'm a big fan of having both world championships available. But if you want to do it right or don't do it at all. So, and the next question is, who owned ECW before Paul Heyman? Who owned ECW before Paul Heyman? Number to call live is 347-884-8452. Hopefully we can grab a call or two, time permitting, but do not hesitate to call in, and maybe you would be the chosen one to have your thoughts shared if we can squeeze you in. But don't hesitate to call, 347-884-8452. Miz defeating Heath Slater. Miz was on assignment. He had a movie that he was shooting. You know, good to see The Miz back. I like The Miz. When he was a heel, when he was WWE champion, I didn't like him whatsoever. I think that push was just kind of force-fed to us. It was kind of strong-armed to us. I wasn't a big fan of it, but now since he's in the mid-card and working his way up, I can appreciate The Miz more. He's not as over as he was, but I definitely think that he can have the opportunity to kind of revive himself. He needs Ric Flair. He definitely needs Ric Flair. And I know that Ric Flair is mourning the unfortunate loss of his son, Reed. But when Flair is ready to come back, he needs to be with The Miz. The Miz still does the figure four leg lock in honor of Ric Flair. So why not have him at his side? That would be something that would definitely jolt the career of The Miz. John Cena and Team Hell No defeats The Shield. Here's the thing. I have a huge problem with how this was booked. Now, you had an undefeated Shield defeating 8 world champions since Survivor Series, sabotaging Ryback, even taking out The Undertaker. And you have their first loss happen in a elimination tag team match, and they get disqualified. That is absolutely horrible. That was horrible booking, horrible writing. I think it was absolutely terrible. And if you want to make something so big out of the Shield's undefeated streak, they really should have saved it. They really, really should have saved it for something big. You already have the streak. You already have them taking out main eventers and world champions. But to basically end the streak on a disqualification on an elimination match on Raw, the match itself was really weird. It was awkward. Kane got disqualified. Roman Reigns got disqualified, and then Seth Rollins got pinned, and then Ambrose got disqualified. It was just a really poorly booked match, and I think that they really could have done a far better job with keeping the suspense, creating the cliffhangers of who's going to defeat the Shield. They already had something really big, and I think that they could have kept that going longer of someone defeating the Shield. I mean, they could have even had an upset victory. I mean, there could have been so many different options to use the benefit of this streak that we saw with the Shield. But instead, we get some lopsided, poorly booked disqualification victory on Raw. Just really horrible booking, and just really it really brought the Shield down substantially as far as the potency of the group. Now the Shield is a good group. I mean, take nothing away from that. But at the same time, they had something good with the streak, and they absolutely blew it. Definitely not a fan of how that was booked whatsoever. Shield attacks Cena post-match. Ryback comes out and hits Cena's ankle with a chair. Just Ryback gaining more heel heat. I mean, he's really trying his best, and I don't, honestly, I don't see this lasting long as far as Ryback's heel heat is concerned. They're really trying their best to make him a legitimate heel, and I'm doing my best to try to hold on to Ryback as far as liking him, but my interest is just fading away. So we'll see what they do with Ryback post Extreme Rules. Jack Swagger defeats Biggie Langston by count out. Okay. As far as that match is concerned, two heels going at it, and I guess they decided to. Jack Swagger was picked by the WWE Universe. They were in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Jack Swagger's from Perry. So that could have been a legitimate vote, but with those WWE active polls, I mean, really, who knows? There was a report earlier that Daniel Bryan was in a poll that he actually won, but I think Kane was the one who won, or Randy, or I don't remember who it was, but the actual winner was Daniel Bryan, so they faked the poll. And I'm pretty sure they a lot of the polls were fake as far as the WWE active or any type of poll is concerned, but I don't know, and I'm not sure if Jack Swagger actually won that. But it was a decent match. Nothing big about it. nothing big about it. But at the same time, it does keep the interest a little bit in the current feud. Alberto Del Rio, Ricardo Rodriguez come out. Alberto Del Rio gets Swagger and Cross Armbreaker, and the Big E returns the ring, and all three of them fight each other, and then Del Rio ended up being the last one standing in the ring. I'll finish what I think about that when we get to our Extreme Rules predictions. AJ defeats Natalya. Decent match, just to give AJ some steam heading to the number one contenders match, which still isn't booked yet, which is quite odd. Chris Jericho backstage interview. He brings his mean streak back. Hopefully it doesn't lead to a heel turn, because this babyface Chris Jericho has been the best Chris Jericho in quite some time. Then finally we see the Triple H and Brock Lesnar face-to-face. I mean, the promos were okay. The actual face-to-face moment that they had, which led into some fighting in the cage, that was okay too. But I think the writing's on the wall as far as who's going to win that match. I think it's pretty clear based on what we saw on Raw who's actually going to win that match. So I think they kind of spoiled it that way. But you know, we got a comment on the chat room that said I like the old blue steel cage, and I totally agree with that. There was some talks that it was actually supposed to be the old school cage, but it looks like that was nixed. But I'm a fan of the old school cage. I'm a fan of the Saturday night's main event, Hulk Hogan versus Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, old school cage. There was some the last old school cage match. Okay, that's a nice little trivia question I'm gonna throw in there. What was the actual what was the last old school cage match that happened in WWE? What was the last old school cage match that happened in the WWE? But like I said, pretty much spoiled it as far as who's going to win on this coming Sunday. All right, let's go to SmackDown real quick. Chris Jericho's highlight reel. The guest was Ryback. I do have to say this real quick before I go. I'm looking at all the tweets and everything on chat. I appreciate all the interaction. I do want to bring out a point that I do see in the great job, by the way. 2 points I see. Triple H and Mankind, SummerSlam 98. Absolutely. That's when we saw Dude Love. I think it was supposed to be a heart. He was doing the in honor of Jimmy Snuka. They kind of had a they had an old school black cage during the Austin and Vince McMahon match at St. Valentine's Day Massacre in 99 when Big Show debuted. But the old school blue cage, yes, absolutely, nearly 15 years ago. So, and the other thing I want to bring up is I see a comment here. The dumbest cage match was the Punjabi prison match. Without question, I totally agree with that. And the crazy thing about the Punjabi prison match is that it was in honor of the Great Khali, and the Great Khali was not even in the match. The Punjabi prison match was The Undertaker versus The Big Show. And originally, Khali was supposed to be in the match against The Undertaker, but there were some reports that they were so they didn't have enough confidence in Khali as far as making that a sellable match on the pay-per-view that they hurried up and changed it to The Big Show. I think that, first of all, just hyping up the match and having that type of match period was just absolutely horrible. See a comment here. He did have a match with Batista in the Punjabi cage. Yeah, I do remember that. But the match that was booked originally was Undertaker and Great Khali, and then they switched it over at last minute. But this period, it was just absolutely horrible to make a match on behalf of the Great Khali. Now, I do like what they're doing with the Great Khali now. He's kind of like an oddity with Hornswoggle, and I like what they're doing with him now, the whole secret admirer spy, bringing some humor in Great Khali now, because he should have never been booked as some type of major threat big guy. That was just horrible from the beginning. But, you know, WWE is a international conglomerate, and having the Great Khali on the roster does benefit from an international standpoint. So I like what they're doing with Khali now, but making him some type of monster heel when he was with Ranjan Singh and all that, yeah, that could have been spared for sure. And the World Heavyweight Championship victory from a SmackDown Battle Royal was just absolutely horrible as well. All right, let's get to SmackDown. Once again, the question that has not been answered via Twitter or chat room yet is who owned ECW before Paul Heyman? Who owned ECW before Paul Heyman? All right, Ryback is on Jericho's highlight reel on SmackDown. Taye Long books the main event between the two. Jack Swagger and Zeb calls her backstage interview. Big E Langston versus Jack Swagger. Match never happens. Del Rio throws in a ladder and eventually takes everyone else out. Mark Henry successfully pulls two tractor trailers and sets the world record. Randy Orton backstage interview, Big Show defeats Tensai. That was actually a decent match. It was short, but it was decent. It really showed how strong and capable Tensai is. And if they really had it, I mean, if they really booked Tensai and Brodus Clay appropriately, they can have, I mean, they can keep Tensai as a babyface. He was a babyface in Japan. And he could have a decent match against the Big Show. But, you know, now we just got to see tons of funk. Show attempts to KO punch Brodus Clay post-match, but he gets RKO'd by Randy Orton. Caitlin's Secret Admirer segment, that was pretty funny. Speaking of the great Kali, that was very funny. Rey Mysterio mask and everything, it was pretty funny. Chris Jericho defeats Ryback by disqualification. And then Ryback meat hooks Jericho post-match. I like how they ended that match. It didn't make Jericho look weak. He won by disqualification. That was a good idea. And then Ryback meat hook clotheslining Jericho post-match kind of brought some, kind of restored some dignity in his end. I'm so tired of just Jericho just losing clean to everybody that breathes. And I think that at least with a DQ victory, that still makes him look strong in some sense. All right, let's go to Impact Wrestling. You got Sting and Kurt Angle entering promo. Angle calls out AJ Styles. Both offer AJ a spot on their team, and AJ walks away. Kurt Angle and AJ fight on the ramp. Aces and Eights blindside Sting as he was looking from the ring. Mickie James and Velvet Sky defeats Taryn Gil Kim. Gil Kim does another Bret Hart-style figure four leg lock, this time on Tara, post-match. Aces and Eights talk in the ring, confronts D-Lo and kicks him out of the... Well, they make him a prospect and force him to take off the cut. Magnus defeats Doc because D-Lo inadvertently pulls Doc's leg to help Magnus get the roll-up. Bad influence against Bobby Roode and Austin Aries led to a no contest. James Storm super kicks Daniels and Aries during the match. Aces and Eights jump Magnus backstage. Kenny King and Chris Sabin in ring segment. James Storm showed battered backstage and bad influence of Roode and Aries was around him. And then the final match actually was pretty good. Sting, Kurt Angle, the mystery partner, defeats Ace and Nates. Mystery partner was revealed to be Abyss, who came towards the end of the match. And I said this, I read an article on WrestlingInc.com. I write an Impact Wrestling review every week. I think the writing was on the wall as far as Abyss returning. I thought Joseph Park was hilarious, but he wasn't getting over as I'm sure TNA was expecting him to. And so I think there was a good idea to bring back Abyss. I think it was a good timing to do that. So we saw a really sick chokeslam on Ken Anderson, and then and then subsequent boots, and then of course the black hole slam on D-Von. So. Good way to bring in Abyss at this time, and hopefully they don't dry out his character. Question posed on the chat room is Joseph Park and Abyss the same guy? They are indeed the same guy. Joseph Park and Abyss are. On TNA, they're booked to be brothers, but they're actually the same person whose real name is actually Chris Parks. So, Todd Gordon is the correct answer. Going to have another question coming up here soon. We're going to cover ROH, and then we're going to do the Flavor of the Week. And after the Flavor of the Week, we're going to bring back Derek, our Raw correspondent, at the end of the show. To go on to do the Extreme Rules predictions. So we'll have some fun with that. All right, let's do ROH quickly. It was just a recap of the Border Wars pay-per-view. Roderick Strong defeating Mike Bennett. Cheeseburger, which is a very interesting name. Any type of wrestling affiliation, and your name's Cheeseburger. That's pretty daggone funny. But he kisses Maria and distracts Mike Bennett, and Roderick Strong gets the win with the sick kick. BJ Whitmer defeats Red Titus in an I Quit match. A very sacrilegious part that they did with Steve Corino, which is quite odd. It's getting a little bit out of hand. Cliff Compton and Jimmy Jacobs defeating Michael Evan and Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal at first was in the match, and he left because he hurt his knee, and then Kevin Steen came in and gets rolled up by Jimmy Jacobs. That match was phenomenal, by the way. The crowd was in it very, very much, and it was a very, very good match. All right, let's do the Flavor of the Week, and after we do that, we'll bring in our Raw correspondent, Derek, to go on to the share his Extreme Rules predictions, and I will share mine as well. Real quick, let's talk about the not-so-extreme matches from Extreme Rules. Now, I wrote an article on Bleacher Report about this. One thing that I don't necessarily care for is you having a... Now, let me explain this, because there was a lot of people who said, okay, well, I don't see why you should have Extreme Rules matches, Extreme Rules theme matches on the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. I totally disagree with that, because you want to make the pay-per-view as true to form as possible. Now, this pay-per-view spawned from ECW. Basically, the one-night stand pay-per-view led to the ECW show on Tuesday nights, which led to a diluted, dumbed-down ECW concept. Now, I do think that the WWE version of ECW had a whole lot of perks. And I actually wrote an article. Check the archive of my articles on Bleacher Report. And I wrote an article that said why the WWE version of ECW worked. Very interesting article that I'm sure that you'd like. Agree or disagree, I do think that you would admit that I brought out some good points. But basically the WWE, but that was good, but the bad part of that was the actual diluting of the extreme nature of the brand, and I think that was just a horrible idea, a horrible idea. So basically, on the program, we had a regular ECW Tuesday night program, we had regular matches with maybe one Extreme Rules match on the program. That was just absolutely horrible to me. Just a really bad way to represent the ECW brand. So the one-night stand pay-per-views, there's a couple that was successful. I think they were really, really good. And then that led to Extreme Rules, which for the most part, they still have mostly Extreme Rules matches. But they have some singles matches that are just there just to be there. And I don't agree with that. Some people say, okay, they have TLC matches. Should they have TLC matches for the rest of for all of the pay-per-view? And I think it's a difference. Now, TLC is a gimmick. TLC is a gimmick match that TLC is a gimmicked match that basically is a representation of one specific form of match. Now, Extreme Rules is not a gimmicked match per se. It's a match. It's a PG way of saying hardcore match. Now, Extreme Rules should be a hardcore pay-per-view. Now, that word is not really used that much nowadays, but the word hardcore should be synonymous with Extreme Rules. So all the matches should have hardcore in it, and I explained something on Bleacher Report as far as because people was bringing up, you know, the original ECW, they didn't have all the matches weren't hardcore. I agree with that, but at the same time, all the matches were open to get hardcore. For instance, you would have the matches between Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero. Now, it would be a fantastic technical match, but if they wanted to go outside, if they wanted to use the barricade, if they wanted to use anything in that nature to become hardcore, that option was open. Nowadays, on this Extreme Rules match, we could see a disqualification victory, which would make absolutely no sense. So hopefully that explains my premise enough to disagree with just regular singles matches on a Extreme Rules pay-per-view. It should be a hardcore pay-per-view. If you have singles matches or if you have non-extreme matches, at least it should be open to get extreme. So I think that explains my premise fair enough. So let's go to the seven matches since 2009, the first Extreme Rules pay-per-view. It's been seven matches, in my opinion, that were not too extreme. Let's start off with 2009, the handicapped hog pin match between it was Vicky Guerrero and Chavo Guerrero against Santino Marella. That's when Santino was a cross-dressed diva, which is quite odd. And he was Santino Marella. It's very, very weird. Very, very, very weird. And that match was just a travesty to Extreme Rules. It was absolutely horrible. And nothing, just a travesty to the Extreme Rules concept. Next match is the gauntlet match to determine the number one contender of the Tag Team Championship, Extreme Rules 2010. It was a good match, but gauntlet match is not an Extreme Rules match. It was, and the concept was weird too, because Show Miz was in the match and they were tag team champions, but the match was based on voting, beating them to become number one contenders. It was just an odd match. It was not extreme and it was confusing. So Hart Dynasty won and they eventually became tag team champions. I was a big fan of the Hart Dynasty for sure, but this match was definitely not extreme whatsoever. Next match is the Lumberjack match of Extreme Rules 2011. A Lumberjack match, unless everybody has a weapon or something, it's not an Extreme Rules match. There's nothing extreme about a Lumberjack match. Now, a Lumberjack match has a rich history. There's a lot of memorable Lumberjack matches. I like Lumberjack matches, but it's not an Extreme Rules match. A Lumberjack match can happen, you know, any day, on any Raw or SmackDown. So it definitely wouldn't classify as an Extreme Rules match. The match was between Kane and Big Show defending their tag team championship against the Core. And the match wasn't that good. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't that good. It definitely wasn't extreme. Next match was this was the worst out of all possible matches of Extreme Rules history. Now, I keep saying, I like Brodus Clay. I like the gimmick. I think that this gimmick is better than him coming back as a monster heel, because he would have been just like another, I mean, he would have been just like every other monster heel and had a flash in the pan push and eventually become a jobber to the stars. So I think that it's a good idea that he is who he is now. But he beat Dolph Ziggler at last year's Extreme Rules, an impromptu match between the two. He defeats Dolph Ziggler. That was just really, really odd. Dolph Ziggler really didn't stand a chance. And I liked Brodus Clay's push, but that was way over the top by using Dolph Ziggler as a pawn to Dolph Ziggler's failed push, seeing how now Dolph Ziggler's the World Heavyweight Champion. It was just bad booking, and I think having on Extreme Rules was just a really, really bad idea. The next match is another singles match between Nikki Bella and Layla. And I've mentioned this before to a lot of people. I think that the biggest mistake of Layla coming back to WWE was how she returned, because when Nikki Bella was supposed to fight a mystery partner, most people thought that it was going to be Karma returning. And not only was it not Karma, it was Layla. Layla ended up winning that match, too, from a being sidelined for a long time due to her injury. So it was just really weird, very odd, and I think that she's yet to recover from that flopped return. And then a couple other matches, 2 out of 3 falls match. It was a great match between Daniel Bryan and Sheamus. In my opinion, it was the best non-Extreme Rules match, but you got to stay true to form. 2 out of 3 falls match, unless there's a gimmick involved, like the 3 stages of hell between Triple H and Steve Austin at 2001, No Way Out. Unless there's a gimmick involved, the 2 out of 3 falls match is just not extreme. Like I said, good match between Daniel Bryan and Sheamus, but not Extreme Rules. And then the final match is a handicap match of last year's Extreme Rules. Ryback against two local athletes, which were jobbers, and just a horrible depiction of where Ryback was at that point of time. What a difference a year can make, but just a really, really bad decision to have him go in a handicap match at Extreme Rules. You could have absolutely saved that for another time. It's horrible. We're going to bring back our Raw correspondent, Derek, on the line. We're going to go through some Extreme Rules matches. Be sure to type in or tweet your Extreme Rules predictions. Extreme Rules is this Sunday on pay-per-view. The card is set up decently, and most likely I believe that the main event will be Triple H and John Cena. So as we bring in Derek, our Raw correspondent, we're going to go through some predictions here. And we usually go through predictions before the pay-per-view happens. I think the pay-per-view has an opportunity to be a good pay-per-view. Extreme Rules after WrestleMania usually holds its own as far as being a good pay-per-view. Last year's main event was John Cena and Brock Lesnar, which was just a slugfest, a gory slugfest. And I think that Triple H and Brock Lesnar could be the same. Brock Lesnar, with his second straight Extreme Rules main event, which would be which is very interesting, seeing how he had a 10-year hiatus from the WWE. All right, real quick, let's go to our first prediction here. Team Hell No, Daniel Bryan and Kane versus The Shield for the Tag Team Championship and a Tornado Tag Team match. Who do you got, Derek?
I'd say, but I believe The Shield's going to win.
Shield?
Yeah, of course I do. The Shield's going to win, and that's almost fact. I put my money on The Shield.
I think that with the weird booking that we saw on Raw with The Shield, that kind of put a little blurp in their dominance, but at the same time, I do think that The Shield will just continue to be mega pushed, and I think that The Shield will win the Tag Team Championship. Let's go to Dean Ambrose against Kofi Kingston for United States Championship. Who you got there?
Dean Ambrose. Again,
Dean
he's
Ambrose.
Not going to lose. I can't believe they're going to lose, so let's go with him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that Kofi Kingston may keep it. Now, I do think that The Shield will dominate at Extreme Rules, but somehow I think that Kofi Kingston will leave the program as United States champion. I think it's way too predictable to have The Shield have, although I'll be okay with them having three titles. I'll be okay with them having three titles. I think that will extend their push. But at the same time, I think it's a bit too predictable to see all of them have the titles. Now, I don't know. It's just I'm on the fence with that. I think they're going to take the tag team titles, but I don't know. I mean, they've given Dean Ambrose some love. You know what? I think I'm going to go Shield taking all the titles, the mid-card and tag team titles. I think I'm going to do it. There's a part of me to say Kofi Kingston's going to leave with the U.S. title, but Kofi Kingston's, unfortunately, he's expendable. So I think I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to go with the Shield having three titles coming out to the ring. Chris Jericho versus Fandango.
Oh, Fandango. Unless he's got a big heel turn coming or something, I don't see much for him. I want to go with my gun. I think YTJ is going to pull this one out. He deserves a win. He's going to get a win. So, YTJ.
Totally agree with you. I think that Fandango had his chance. Beat Jericho at WrestleMania, which I still think it was a bad idea. He had the Fandangoing craze the last a few weeks, but, you know, that was extinguished almost as quick as it became popular. Jersey was just a different crowd. We saw a lot of people coming internationally to the Izod Center the night after WrestleMania. So it was just a different breed of fans. I don't think we'll ever see that again in the States. Like I said, New Jersey had a whole bunch of people coming internationally that stayed after WrestleMania to attend Raw. So we won't see that again in the foreseeable future, maybe not ever. So the whole Fandango craze is pretty much extinguished, and I think that Jericho will take this win to the if I could be old school, as many people know that I just appreciate old school wrestling. As Dusty Rhodes would say, take that one to the pay window. All right, next we got Randy Orton versus The Big Show.
I'd like to go with The Big Show, but Randy Orton will probably win. But if I got to go with my gut, toss up Big Show.
I think Orton is going to win this one hands down. I think that they're trying to revive Orton's character. I don't think I see absolutely nothing going on with the Big Show right now. He's back to his old. He's back to his irrelevant days when they made him World Heavyweight Champion. I think that that was a great idea, and in retrospect, it really gave him his last kind of zest, last kind of revival, resurgence in his career. But Randy Orton's going to defeat the Big Show. Let's go. Matter of fact, let's go to the pre-show master, Miz versus Cody Rhodes. Who you got for that one?
I think personally, I like to see the Miz win, but that's just me. Cody Rhodes has a lot going for him. I wouldn't be surprised with that. But my win, the Miz.
I agree. I think Cody Rhodes has a. I think he's has an upswing in his career right now. But I think the return of The Miz and all of his movie promotions and all that, that's going to give him the win. Strap match between Sheamus and Mark Henry.
I'd like to see Mark Henry win. I like Sheamus will win this one.
I agree. I think that Sheamus will take this one as well. Yeah, I think Sheamus will take it. Mark Henry is a good opponent for Sheamus. It's going to be a good match, a hard-hitting match, but I think Sheamus will take this one. Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger, number one contender, I quit match.
Alberto Del Rio will win.
I agree. I don't see Jack Swagger against Dolph Ziggler. Heel versus heel for the next pay-per-view or Raw or whatever it is. Maybe if it happened on Raw, but an I Quit match on the pay-per-view to lead to a match on Raw. I think they've done a number one contender for Raw before, but I don't see it happening. I think that they'll probably set that up a little bit more. So I agree. Alberto Del Rio takes this one. All right, real quick, let's see. We got John Cena against Ryback. Who you got?
I got John Cena.
John Cena? Yeah, I think it's pretty much hands down. John Cena will win. Ryback will not win the WWE Championship. John Cena defeats The Rock and then lose to Ryback, who's in the past year his pay-per-view record has been 4-6. And the four was in the beginning of the year, of last year. So don't see Ryback winning at all. Ryback will be fed to John Cena. And then finally, we got the steel cage match between Brock Lesnar and Triple H.
Brock Lesnar is a flash in the pan every time he comes here, so Triple H will win. And Brock Lesnar will go on to be a football player, baseball player, something.
How about Brock Lesnar soccer? I disagree with this one. I would like Triple H to win, but I think the rubber match will be won by Brock Lesnar. Per his contract and just because of his name being 1-3, if he loses, he'll be 1-3 in pay per views. I don't think that if they want to make him, worthwhile, I don't think that they will have him lose twice in a row to Triple H. I think that Brock Lesnar will take this one to the pay window. Appreciate it, Derek. Always a great time. Crave Wrestling, Pancakes, and Power Slams. Thank you so much. Great show today as we do every week. A lot of interaction within the chat room. And real quick, what was the title of Slick's theme song? Real quick. Tweet or say it within the next 15 seconds. What was the name of Slick's theme song? So as I close, let me see an answer real quick. Follow Crave Wrestling on Facebook. Like Like Crave Wrestling on Facebook. Follow Crave Wrestling. Great job, Jive Soul Bro. That was the correct answer. Follow Crave Wrestling at Crave Wrestling. Check me out on Bleach Report, Chris Featherstone, WrestlingInc.com, Chris Featherstone. Thank you so much for all your support. Great show. We'll be back next week, 347-884-8452. Until next week, have a great week and enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless.